Welcome back to another episode of Talk Shonen. I'm Jared.
And my name is Turtle.
Yes, it is. That is not just an animal. That is the name of my co-host.
That is I, the co-host, El Tortuga de Muerte.
What's great is some people, if they've never seen a picture of you, they might think that I just am the only person in the world with a talking turtle.
I mean, maybe. I am a talking turtle.
That's what it is.
Yep.
You are literally the fifth Ninja Turtle.
Well, the fifth one is Venus.
She's not back in canon yet. I heard she's coming.
No, she. I think they just put her in canon.
Oh, did they just? Yep, did she come back?
I'm pretty sure she just hit canon.
Okay, so you're the sixth.
I'm the sixth Ninja Turtle. Just named Turtle. Splinter ran out. He was just like, and you, my son.
What's another Renaissance painter? I think I hit all of them.
I'm going to go with this one's.
Shit, you're just a turtle, man.
You're wearing a green bandana? Okay.
Look, I don't think this is going to work.
Turtle?
Okay. What do you want to fight with? Turtles? You're going to throw other turtles at me?
No, turtle shells. I eat them first.
You're Yoshi?
He'd just be like, what the fuck?
Be like, this is super fucked. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're not talking about
Teenage Mutant Ninja. Talking about
Teenage Mutant Ninja. I feel like we should have an episode about that
at some point. I'm sure. I got to brush up on them. I have a friend that's like loves the Ninja Turtles, like comics, everything, big into Ninja Turtles. And the story arcs and the origin stories, plural, and like, it's really interesting. It's something I like, and I know some of it, but I don't know enough of it.
Like their connection to Daredevil.
Well, so that's only one of the origin stories.
Yeah.
Which, that's the one I know.
But that's canon now. Like, that is legitimately been canonized. That's the thing.
Turtle canon is loose.
Turtles are loose cannons?
Turtles are loose cannons. Because right now, the story, the comic arcs, there's multiple fully canon story arcs.
Oh, okay.
With different origins.
I mean, because they're in Ronin right now.
Yes. And Ronin, which is supposed to be amazing.
Yeah, I've heard it's really good.
Yeah. I know who the Ronin is now.
Yeah.
Because my friend read it.
And yeah. I ruined it for myself. I was like, I know that I should probably just read it because I heard it's incredible. But I was like, I'm going to look it up anyway.
Yeah.
Fuck it. But we're actually talking about something that's very similar to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Or is it just nostalgic also?
It pretty much hits on like everything that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is. They have the same thing.
I don't know about that.
There's four of them.
Okay.
It's from the 80s.
Okay. You got kind of.
There's weapons.
Weapons. Okay.
There's rats.
You're just grabbing at straws at this point.
There's the color pink.
No. We're going to be talking about one of my all-time favorite franchises, the Ghostbusters. Yes.
We're not going to go too far in because we don't want to get copyright struck for anything.
But so, yeah, we're talking about Ghostbusters today. All things Ghostbusters.
All things. Not just the new movie.
Yeah, not just the new movie. Not just, you know, the old movies. Not just the absolute hot sewage that is the remake.
Yeah, we're gonna
and I want to be clear on something. I think it's hot sewage not because it's a woman cast. I was on board for the woman cast. I'm actually a big fan of a couple of them.
Yeah, it's a few of them are really excellent comedians. Yeah,
and I was so on board to be like, you know, the critics are wrong, people are just being sexist assholes. And I watched it and I went, this was not a good movie.
Like, oh no, critics were right.
Yeah, like, why did you do this to Ghostbusters?
Yeah. Oh. Well, I mean, I guess we should start. If for some reason you don't know what the Ghostbusters are.
I don't know who doesn't know what Ghostbusters are at this point.
So the Ghostbusters are very similar to my introduction. They're four guys.
Yes.
There is four of them. They are very much
or
like
four
the Ninja,
women or
like the Ninja Turtles.
Or three men and a woman, depending on which series you're watching.
Yeah, depending. I'm glad that we're going to talk about that one. I love Extreme Ghostbusters. Extreme Ghostbusters was dope.
Yes.
But so it started off that there was four dudes.
Yep.
Three white. Mm-hmm. One black.
Yep. That was it.
Had to do that.
Yep.
And they were paranormal investigators. Well, they're scientists.
They're scientists.
They're scientists first. And then they became paranormal investigators.
Yes.
Who then became paranormal exterminators.
You kind of, sort of.
Because you can't kill a ghost, but you can get rid of it. Mm-hmm. They were like no kill because you can't kill, but no kill exterminators.
Yes, exactly. They would capture them.
Yes.
And lock them away
with the most high-tech thing ever.
They had period the most advanced technology in that world.
Yeah.
And it's crazy that, like,
it's so much further.
Yeah, it's very rarely
anything that we have. Yeah, period.
Very rarely addressed how truly advanced or how truly intelligent Spangler is until
the new one.
The new movie where she's like, "How did you even do this?" And he, like, ghost Spangler points a light at, like,
say spoilers.
Everyone,
spoilers for the new movie. Yeah. If you haven't seen the old movie,
yeah,
fuck off.
Yeah, like, for sure. Honestly, for sure. He points a light at the wall, and you just see, like, eight different doctorates in, yeah, like,
it's, oh, you're
engineering
a
and physics and, yeah, this and that. And, like, he's a fucking genius.
Yeah, yeah, because Egon was dope.
I mean, for sure, he's what made this work.
Yeah, completely. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so they're just ghost exterminators, which is a hilarious idea.
Yes,
to be like, you know, it's because it's not like, you know, there's been movies, mm-hmm, of people that go up against ghosts, mm-hmm, normally not anticipating it, mm-hmm, and if they were anticipating it, it's normally involved with the occult.
Oh yeah, sure.
And it's very, very serious.
And they touch on it kind of lightly, like,
yeah,
they reference, you know, Tobin spirit guides and things like, mm-hmm, that. You know, they, as scientists, they do use reference materials, yeah, to try to pin stuff down.
Well, they really lean into Dan Aykroyd's love of the,
well, and yeah,
the supernatural.
Dan Aykroyd started Crystal Skull Vodka.
Exactly, yeah.
He really does own an occult bookshop and really is like...
Yeah, that is him.
Yeah, like, that is Dan Aykroyd. He is the occult guy,
yeah,
of the group, as far as we know. I mean, yeah, maybe, you know, maybe...
Bill Murray's
like a secret,
like a weird, yeah, a weird secret thing that he keeps, that he secret, for some reason keeps under wraps.
Yeah, I guess, because no one would even be surprised with Bill Murray at this point.
Is super open about anything. Yeah. He's just kind of like, fuck it, yeah, here's my life.
Yeah, exactly. But so yeah, there's been plenty of iterations. We should cover, mm-hmm, that there are three now distinct,
mm-hmm,
timelines.
Yes.
Okay, so there's the movie's timeline.
Yes.
That we know.
That's one, two,
and afterlife.
Yeah.
All right. There's the cartoon timeline,
which is real
Ghostbusters
and Extreme.
Do you know why it's called the Real Ghostbusters?
Because there was another thing called Ghostbusters, right?
There was it wasn't Paramount, but one of the old studios.
Like, I saw something. It looked Hanna-Barbera.
It was very Hanna-Barbera-esque. Yeah. It had, like, a talking gorilla.
Yeah. 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 It was very, very, yeah, weird. Yeah.
And it was called Ghostbusters, and it was, yeah, actually a cartoon. It was actually a show, it was a show that the cartoon's based off of from, like, the 60s or something.
Oh, wow.
It's, like, old.
Yeah.
It's, like, Doctor Who era original, oh, kind, geez, of stuff. I could be off on the dates, but I'm pretty sure it was pretty old.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they had a cartoon off of it as well.
I don't know anything about it. I'll just believe anything, yeah, you say. Just, yeah, say it with confidence. Exactly.
It's all fine. And another company, who I can't remember now, I want to say Paramount, but I don't think it was, owned the rights to Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
And so just as a fuck you to this company because they wouldn't sell the rights to it.
Yeah.
They went, okay, well, fine. We're call our cartoon. Oh, because they didn't own the movie rights. They only owned
the TV rights. Oh, TV rights.
Television rights.
Oh, okay.
They owned the movie rights. They didn't own the movie rights. They only owned the television rights.
Yeah.
So as a fuck you to them, they called them the Real Ghostbusters.
Because fuck you, you're fake.
Yeah, fuck you, you're the fake ones now.
Honestly, when I was looking up, because, like, I forgot the name of Extreme Ghostbusters, yeah, I always thought it was, like, New Ghostbusters, mm-hmm, Next Ghostbusters, yeah, Ghostbusters, mm-hmm, Next Generation.
Nope.
And I was like, none of those sound, mm-hmm, right.
Nope.
But that's what's in my head.
But it was the 90s, so of course it was Extreme. Yeah.
So I looked it up, and then I saw that pop up, and I went, what the fuck is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and then Extreme Ghostbusters, which is a direct continuation, yeah, of the Real Ghostbusters,
which is funny because, like, I didn't, like, as a kid, I didn't know that.
Oh, really?
Like, I only kind of vaguely watched the Real Ghostbusters originally, okay, as a kid, yeah, because, like, it wasn't everywhere. Like, it wasn't highly accessible.
Super fucked up for a kid's show too, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, there was, like, comedy in it, but it was, like, vague, mm-hmm, comedy. I mean, Dan Aykroyd was the only writer on it that was associated with the original.
Yes, and he wasn't even in a ton of it. He was in,
yeah, yeah,
he guest wrote, I think, episodes. I don't think he wrote a big,
oh, no,
portrait.
He was apparently, there's like 140 episodes,
oh,
of it.
Oh, was he really?
He wrote 140. Okay. So he was involved in it, but he was the only one involved, yeah, in it. Extreme Ghostbusters, Harold Ramis came back.
Okay,
and nice. They both wrote,
yeah,
all 40 episodes.
Ironically,
of that.
Richard Ramis, who's a big producer,
mm-hmm,
produced Extreme Ghostbusters, as well as a bunch of other shows. People, if there's certain cartoons that you look at them, mm-hmm. without realizing it, you'll recognize them as something from the 90s.
Yeah. Because of stylistically
what you're looking at, mm-hmm. and it's probably a Richard Reynes production.
Oh, that's cool.
So like Men in Black, the Men in Black cartoon,
which I loved.
Big Guy and Rusty.
Okay, yeah.
Are you picturing mm-hmm. the style? Yeah. I'm saying the extreme Ghostbusters, yeah. and anything like that's. I think even Real Monsters
really? Or
something. I'm not sure about that one. But there's a couple like if you pictured those styles like Men in Black.
Yeah.
You know, Big Guy and Rusty.
Where you have extreme
Ghostbusters that
where it's like realistic but not realistic because everyone's
grim, almost like body horror for some yeah. of the, for the animation.
Yeah, but also like when you look at the people, like mm-hmm. how they're drawn, you're yeah. like, not all of you are drawn like regular people.
Yes,
but like you have weird long necks, weird yeah. long arms.
It was a very artistic choice, and I grew up with it. I loved it, but yeah. you know that they're all most of them. That you see like that. Some of them are just copycats on it.
Yeah.
But most of them are Richard Reynolds production.
Trying to capitalize on success.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But so I loved Real Ghostbusters and mm-hmm. Extreme Ghostbusters. Yeah. Even though as a kid I got like, this is weird. These don't look anything like the actors. And like yeah. But they did it because animating mm-hmm. three dark-haired white men.
Yeah.
Is just, it's hard to distinguish them in a way that made sense.
Yeah.
And made them more easily picked out from distances and things like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So they made the choice to make like Egon was blonde.
Yeah.
Ray was
a
ginger.
Was a ginger. Yeah. yeah.
And the only one they kept
that had brown hair was Venkman.
Yeah. yeah. They had to keep Venkman pretty much.
Yeah.
He was like the face of it.
Yeah.
Especially then.
Yeah.
So you know they kept Venkman pretty with much his on dope brand.
Pompadour, but instead yeah. of going back, it went forward.
Yeah. Exactly.
Why not?
Why not? Yeah. Of course. And then of course the third timeline being the Ghostbusters 2016, which. God help us, we'll never continue.
Yeah, we're gonna hope that one is ghost now.
It's like, ghost. It's gone. If we're lucky, they'll make a reference to it and be like, wasn't that a weird fever dream Egon had when he had when he had COVID? Something like fucking crazy and this yeah. never happened again. Once again, nothing to do with the women. It was yeah. a bad movie.
What's funny is I didn't watch it.
Really?
I was intending on watching mm-hmm. it. Like I planned to watch it when it came out.
Yeah.
And then I heard scathing reviews
mm-hmm.
and I went, I'm going to hold off. And then yeah. I asked someone that I know is mm-hmm. like a fan.
Yeah.
And they went, stay away from it.
Stay away. Like, look, there's things in it I like. It.
Mm-hmm.
I can find like some kind of redeeming quality in any movie.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things I really enjoyed.
People work hard on them, so yeah, like, you can't shit all over it because yeah. it is someone's hard work.
And there's some of the actresses in that movie, an actor or actors, weren't yeah. really good,
mm-hmm.
Other than Megan McCarthy. I didn't really like her in it. And I like Megan McCarthy. I've liked yeah. her in a couple of movies a lot.
That's upsetting to hear because I do like Megan McCarthy, an excellent comedian,
yeah. actress, you know, yeah. kind of thing. But I don't know if she was just phoning it in or if she just wasn't on board. Or
maybe she was just like, this movie's going to suck.
Yeah. Maybe she saw the writing on the wall because yeah. the writing for it was not great.
Yeah.
And so like the only things that really kept it going were like, I think like the improv and like
mm-hmm.
the only thing that gave it any chance was the actors.
I heard that the best part about it was Chris Hemsworth.
Oh, yeah.
I heard that he was actually very, very funny.
He was very funny. He played the stereotypical himbo, but like mm-hmm. even more himbo than you're imagining.
Yeah.
And apparently most of those really funny lines were improvised by mm-hmm. Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah. Well, Chris Hemsworth is a very funny dude.
He's a very funny guy.
He's very, very, which is kind of unfair between yeah, like him
right?
and Ryan Reynolds and things
fuck
like that.
Those it's guys.
Like, why are you so like us like fat guys are supposed to be funny?
They're like hot. They're like, funny. And then there's a whole interview with Megan McCarthy.
Yeah.
Where she's talking to Graham Norton,
mm-hmm.
and she heard Chris Hemsworth singing one day, and
he can sing too.
He can sing, and she gutturally reacted like, "You stop it!" Like she was like,
"Yo,
you can't be this perfect."
It's like if they can dance, it's yeah. not fair.
Yeah, right. Well,
like, if they could break dance,
I bet
dance
you
also,
Ryan Reynolds can break dance. That would be on par.
I can
him.
See Ryan Reynolds being. You know what? I can see Ryan Reynolds being really good at like ballroom.
Oh,
dancing.
Right.
Yeah. Like something out of left field where yeah. it's like, why?
Yeah. Why?
Why are you so good?
That would just be something he could do. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But so yeah, that one. I'm not going to go into all the reasons I didn't like it yeah. or all the things I liked. It had some. Cool factors. It had some really
even from the trailer.
Lines.
A lot of it seemed forced, which is one of the things that made me
mm-hmm.
like. It was like, why are you trying so hard?
It also dumbed things down, I think, for the younger generation.
Oh, okay.
Which didn't really help in its favor because a lot of the people that went
were not younger.
Yeah. They were looking for new Ghostbusters.
You see Ghostbusters, you're going to get the fans of Ghostbusters that come
and,
out.
And the younger generation, I'm sure there's some younger people that saw it that are like loved it or
were part of it. There's going to be people that like it.
But it was a lot more bright. The ghosts were neon. It was just like...
Yeah, I did notice that in the trailer. I was like, why are they so... Like, you're supposed to barely be able to see
everything
that.
Everything is like, hey, do you know how people don't really believe in ghosts? Well, maybe they shouldn't be fucking spotlights of blue and green light that illuminate everything within 1,000 feet.
Like Slimer was the brightest ghost in the original. And
he was still a muted green.
He was... barely bright.
Yeah, like he didn't cast light. He was just a slime ball that flew.
He was like Kelly green. Like, he was just green.
He was almost go away green from Disney.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
And so like this is like every single one of them is neon signs.
Jesus.
Yeah. So the story itself, like the plot, the idea that this guy's like what he was doing, I kind of liked like this whole plot, the plan. I liked the main idea of the story.
Yeah.
I just felt like it failed to execute very well.
Yeah. You liked the bones, but you didn't like everything on top of the
like,
bones.
It's like this. The bones were good.
Yeah.
And then the clothes were good. But the flesh, the body of it was not there.
You're like, man, how do you?
It was a skeleton and a pimp coat. Yeah. And I liked those parts of it.
Yeah.
But then the like what you wanted to like the stuff that would make it a substantial thing wasn't there.
Jeez, that sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're done talking about this.
Yeah, please.
Movie.
Can we move on from this one?
Let's talk about the better ones.
Yes.
So let's just talk about the originals real quick. And okay. I wanna get your hot take on this, because this is everyone's hot take.
Okay.
Which one did you like more out of the originals?
One or two?
Yeah.
I mean, for sure one. But
see, I can't. I love one. Two is my favorite.
Two. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
I like. So here's where I even as a kid. Here's where my difference came.
Okay,
I enjoyed two more when I was younger because like it's more Ghostbusters. We have they're already there. New slime.
You're not going through that weird period where they're just like ha, get her.
Yeah,
yeah. You don't have get her.
Animate the Statue of Liberty. There's some really killer scenes.
Yeah.
And like the whole thing has a cool kind of we fucked up vibe that I really like.
Yeah.
As an adult and as I got older, I learned to appreciate the first one for things I didn't appreciate as a kid. Like there's a lot of like anti-government like almost like propaganda in it about like, just fucking the little business owner. It's a very pro-capitalist movie.
Yeah.
I mean, their whole premise is they like take out a third mortgage on Ray's house and
everybody's got three mortgages.
Do a bunch of stuff unlicensed nuclear accelerator. They're really not good.
They're walking around with unregistered nuclear accelerators on their back.
Yes.
So what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
Every molecule in your body is ripped apart.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's like, cross the streams.
Apparently there's a deleted scene or like a cut scene that was never even filmed. Mm-hmm. Where they talk about that line from the elevator where they're like, you know, it just occurred to me that we never had a successful bench test of this equipment.
And when they turn it on.
And they turn it on and they all kind of like inch away. And apparently there's a scene where like, that like or like a montage scene they planned showing him developing the equipment with lots of explosions and like burning.
Yeah.
And so their reactions are a little more. However, they do also in that same elevator. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, they're all fucking doctors.
Yeah.
Are like. Unlicensed nuclear accelerator. And even as a kid, I was like, that doesn't sound good.
Yeah, nothing about that sounds good.
Everything you said seems wrong.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, but I'm a fan of the second one. I love the second one. Like, if you're going to go off of like, if we're going to give it a number scale, like the first one was always like a 9 for
me. For sure.
And the second one was like a 9.2.
The first one is probably a 9.5 for me. It is one of my all-time favorite movies. I've probably watched it 1,000 times, if I'm being realistic, because I'm 34 now.
Yeah.
2 to 3 times a year minimum in the last 10 years, and then like another like 4 to 5 times a year. And when I was a child, like once a day for like 3 years straight. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
I've watched it a lot. You wore out the VHS.
I legitimately wore out the Ghostbusters. I had the 2-pack because mm-hmm. I wore out our regular Ghostbusters VHS.
Yeah.
And my mom took me to get Ghostbusters again, mm-hmm. and they had Ghostbusters 1 and 2 and like
yeah.
this the double slotted.
I have the Ghostbusters 1 and 2 DVD one mm-hmm. where it's like the where it looks like slime yeah. the whole thing. That's what I had. So like I like then that was when I spent my own money on it.
Yeah.
Before that is like my you know my dad had yeah. both of them.
Yeah, I gotcha. Do you know what the unofficial Ghostbusters 3 is?
Is it the video game?
It's the video game.
Which was dope.
The video game is the script they kind of came closest to
mm-hmm.
for Ghostbusters 3.
Yeah.
That they just used to make the game.
Yeah.
Which is why it's so fucking good. Like, it's yeah. the script Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis and,
yeah.
and everyone came together on and, like, basically made and were like, we could do this one. And they just couldn't quite agree on everything. Yeah. And so, and I think that was around the time Harold Ramis and, Bill Murray had a falling out, yeah. and because Bill Murray owned like 51% of the Ghostbusters property, yeah.
they're like, we can't really,
it can't do it.
Yeah, when you own it for film, it's like, yeah. oh, well, what else so, is there? It's I, like these people got it for TV, these people mm-hmm. got it for film. What else is there? There's fucking video games video now. Games.
I don't know where it falls in if you include Afterlife,
mm-hmm.
because I feel like Afterlife happens a decent amount of time after.
Yeah,
so three.
I think game. It's literally. Exactly how it is. Like, I think yeah. it's verbatim. I think it is 2021.
Yeah.
Or whatever in that.
Yes.
Or to, it probably is like 2018 in that. I don't think it's 2021.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's a legitimate like one-to-one
mm-hmm.
four time.
Okay.
That's how I would assume it would be.
Yeah.
Because of just how they were talking about everything. Mm-hmm. I was like, this seems one-to-one.
Yeah. I mean, I think so. They reference that. It's all the same year. It's all like...
Yeah.
I think it is like to 2021 or 2020 or whenever they yeah, filmed it
because
it
was supposed to release. Yeah. yeah.
And the games do take place in like 2008, 2010, something like that.
Is it? I honestly don't remember the, when games the game take takes place
canonically after the second movie. And I think, and I could be wrong, I think they're supposed to take place during the time they were released. Like they're supposed yeah. to be like. Like live timed, like you're dealing with damn. Ghostbusters X number of years later.
Which I mean is genius on their part. It's yeah. genius to literally just be like, no, like everything that's happening, every time we release something, mm-hmm. that's when it is in the timeline. Mm-hmm. And everything that came before it and everything that's going to come after it mm-hmm. is in that timeline. Like everything yeah. lines up.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean that's a smart way of doing it because yeah. it makes character aging make sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's what you always have to worry
realistic
about.
Realistic aging amongst these mm-hmm. humans.
Yeah.
And I mean, 3 was, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Or not 3, I'm sorry. Afterlife.
Afterlife. Afterlife, this is what sparked this episode. I didn't have money
mm-hmm.
when Afterlife came out.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see it
yeah.
more than pretty much anything in the world.
Yeah.
Like to the point where I was thinking about borrowing money from mm-hmm. people.
Yeah.
I was going to loan shark.
Yeah.
To see this movie.
Yeah.
I decided against it. And then by the time I have money, because I'm not poor anymore. So yeah. like I can afford a couple bucks for the movie.
Yeah.
So I finally got to see it.
Yeah.
And holy shit. It blew my fucking socks off.
So good.
It was fan service in the greatest way.
Yes, absolutely.
But such a good fucking story.
Here's the thing. It was fan service, but it had all the fan service around a completely solid story and movie.
Yeah.
You have all different characters mm-hmm. that, yes, have a relation to him, but that's just yeah. how you get them tied into it.
Yeah.
You don't see or really deal with any of the other Ghostbusters.
You don't need to understand all the little nods.
No.
Why yeah. they hung yep. on a particular
mm-hmm.
thing
mm-hmm.
for the length of time that they hung on it.
Exactly.
Like, my daughter has never seen the other two. She has asked me to see it, and then she fell asleep like 5 minutes into the first yeah. one because it was like 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's never actually seen them.
Mm-hmm.
I would be like, oh, that's important because of this. And Emma would be like, I don't get what that is. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, are you still enjoying it? And she's like, this is a great movie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, she didn't need to understand uh-huh. it. I was there to be annoying
yeah.
and explain yeah. why the reference exists.
Yeah, why they say what they say or whatever.
I was fanboying all mm-hmm. over
oh,
it.
Oh,
but it wasn't necessary.
Yeah. And I fanboyed hard.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. I bought it on Amazon Prime to watch it over and over.
Yep.
And I just no renting. Buy that shit. I bought it right outright.
Yeah.
I know I've already watched it like 3 times since it came out.
Yeah. I didn't even consider renting it. No, I literally just went, how much does it cost? If it's less than $100, I'm buying it.
Less than 100. Mine's usually around 20. If I'm like, if it's less than 20, I'm about to get it.
Yeah. Yeah. But I really, like, one, I think that even, like, what this one captured was at almost the most realistic form of human interactions since the first one.
Yes.
Like the first one in particular just sounded like they weren't acting.
Yeah.
Like
it seemed like natural, totally natural conversation. Yeah. The actors they had in this one, the kid actors were amazing. So good. Amazing.
The young girl.
Yes.
One, her jawline was the same as Harold Ramis' jawline.
She did have a distinct appearance like him.
I was like, how the fuck did you find a kid that's that good of an actress and looks like him?
She
was
so good. She is what made this one for me. The teen boy is whatever. That whole story arc is fine. It moves the plot along. It
definitely wasn't about him.
No, yeah. And like I said, it's not like there's nothing wrong with it.
He did a good job for what it was.
He did a good job. Yeah. He was an excellent actor. They moved the plot along in the ways it needed to, but she really sold.
If they
make
another one, if they focus more on him, I would be fine with it.
Oh yeah, sure.
He's a good character.
Yeah, his was just a standard teenager in the summer trying to get laid story.
Exactly.
That's all it was. It was pretty cut and paste.
You can clearly see who each of them was gonna be.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She was Egon,
of course.
You know, her podcast, which I fucking love.
Oh, podcast, of course.
That there is a kid with a podcast.
Your spirit animal podcast.
Like, podcast. And he was hilarious. Yeah. And I was like, you're Ray. And like, literally immediately, I went, that kid's Ray.
Yep. And Ray's his one fucking listener.
That was the best.
That was the best, like, little, like, cherry on the top of that whole, like.
Hearing you're my subscriber.
Yes.
I was like, that's great.
That's amazing. I'm
like, that is, as someone in the field,
yeah.
I was like, this is so nice.
Yeah, so this resonates so well.
Yeah.
And there's lots of stuff they had, like, okay, look, there's little upgrades, but they're old upgrades. You know, the RC car trap.
Yeah.
The gunner seat. The gunner seat, which was in the toys, the original 80s toys, but never made it into any of the movies.
Yeah. Because it would have been a lot harder to do back in the 80s.
Yeah, the amount of weight they'd have to add to the vehicle to do a gunner seat wasn't realistic, whereas nowadays we can.
Yeah, exactly.
So it just, the tech was awesome. I love that it was like, oh my God, this old broken proton thrower.
Did you get somewhat offended, like, and very defensive when he pulls the sheet off and he goes, ah, what a piece of shit. I was like, you do not say nothing bad about the Ecto-1. That's gorgeous.
I got it, though. Look at that car in that barn.
You're going to be like,
with no concept. I associated with Paul Rudd. Why is there
500 different lights?
Yeah. I associate with Paul Rudd pretty hard, especially when he's like, you've never heard of the Ghostbusters?
I didn't want to avoid this. I was going to hold off on it, but holy shit, was Paul Rudd amazing.
Oh, he was so good in this.
This movie.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to be like, I think the mother could have, like, you know, got a little sexier. Come on. She was competing with Sigourney Weaver for the...
Yeah, it's very difficult. There's no way to top what Sigourney Weaver did. Oh, come on.
Sigourney Weaver is still a stone-cold fox today.
Yeah.
On top of being an amazing actress.
Yeah.
Not to say the mother wasn't. Whoever played the mother, I don't know her name. She was great. She took millennial life.
Yes.
But with kids and embodied it so hard.
I felt.
Yes.
Everything she said.
Oh,
and she was the, I would say, out of everybody in this movie, she was the one person that I was like, you're not acting.
No.
I'm like, someone just said this is your life and you're not acting.
And she's experienced
it. That's how good of an actor she was in this.
Yeah, she was excellent.
None of the lines felt forced.
Yeah.
None of the things, even shit that made no sense and in the real world would make no sense if you said it.
Yeah.
I completely 100% believed her.
Absolutely.
In every way, shape, and form. She was one of my favorite parts of this movie.
Her relationship with Phoebe. I remembered Phoebe's name as we were talking. The daughter is what that relationship is so organic and so so relatable to like real issues with parent and child and parent.
Yeah.
And they're both such amazing actors that like there's those scenes together, the few they had where they really like,
yeah,
you could just see her be like, come on, Phoebe, give me a fucking break here. Yeah, Phoebe's exactly. Like, I don't know what you want from me, mother. Yeah. Like it's like
it really highlighted, it's like what do you do when your kid's smarter than you?
Yeah. Yeah.
And your kid and the things that you want for them isn't what they want.
Yeah.
But you still want to give them what they want.
Yeah.
But you also you literally are don't even know or at understand. Adulting.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You're for bad sure. at adulting. Yeah. So you're for like sure. shit. I can't do the one thing that I'm supposed to do, which is just give you the stuff that you want. But at the same point, I don't even fucking understand the stuff that you want. So like there is this weird just kind of disconnect. Mm-hmm. And then she has her son where she's like, I totally understand what you want.
Yeah.
But can you just chill the fuck out and stop being so teenager work with me?
Yeah.
Because you can kind of get that every time they were talking where you were like, this is literally her just being like, fucking work with me, please. Yeah. Like, I have enough shit going on.
That's it. There's those scenes of just like, like sighs that.
Yeah.
Just guys, come on.
I know I said that it's only going to be for a couple of days, but like
we're homeless. Can you just fucking suck it up?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. All right. So we spent a lot of time on this one, which we could do a whole video on.
Yeah, we can
this timeline. Yeah. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Or 1, 2, Afterlife.
Yeah.
I do want to touch on Extreme Ghostbusters a little bit.
Yeah, I definitely do. Like that was a big part of like when I was growing up. Because that was 90s. That was like 96,
very,
I think.
Very 90s.
Yeah. And it was the most 90s. I think
96, 97. It was very much the intro song, which was, by the way, a redoing of the Ghostbusters theme, but very 90s metal. And like,
yeah.
It was like, burn out, burn out, burn out, burn. Oh, so good. I still listen to it every now and again. I love it.
It's great.
It's a real slapper.
That show.
Oh, yeah.
Super inclusive.
Oh, yeah. So, by the way.
Super ahead of its time.
Let's just inform the audience that doesn't know.
Yeah.
That show, the ensemble cast is a group of teenagers that end up being the only teenagers to attend Egon Spengler's college course.
Yeah.
And through happenstance are kind of wrapped up in the ghost world. I forget the exact instance, but basically a ghost attacks and Spengler's like, do this, do that. Here's a proton pack. And like the proton pack sucks dick because it's old and it's fallen apart and it's not as powerful as it needs to be because something's changed in the ghosts. And this is how they rebrand toys. But
exactly. Ghosts are stronger.
Yeah, basically it was like something. I think canonically they were like something shifted and the way I built the packs is no longer capable of meeting the frequency the ghosts have reached.
Yeah.
And so they end up like Spengler takes on the mentor role, which is awesome.
It's always good to see. And that was big in the 90s.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
90s were a lot of like 90s kind of adopted because like in the 80s, everyone was adults.
Yeah.
Like they were all adults.
Yeah, for sure.
Because they were like, kids don't know how to save the world. Adults only know how to save the world. Like, and then in the 90s, they were like, nah, you know who knows how to save the world? Teenagers. If you watch anime, 15-year-old boy is the strongest thing in the world. So it's like they just kind of adopted that.
Oh, for sure. And so you have this ensemble team of actually they're college kids.
Yeah, yeah.
But so, young kids still.
Yeah, you're still like 18, 17, 18.
And so the Peter analog is, I can't remember his name now, but he's the brown-haired white guy, but he's in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
The Ray analog is the black guy this time.
Yeah.
He's just very smart.
Very happy to be there.
Very happy to be there, kind of like goofy.
Yeah.
And like black guy. Then there's like the, you know what? Then there's the sort of, there's really no Egon analog.
So Kylie is the closest.
Yeah, Kylie's the closest.
Because she's an engineer.
Yeah.
Like she's the one who makes all the tweaks
to all the stuff. Redesigns stuff, makes like her little mini pack kind of thing.
Yeah, which is also the ghost trap.
Which is also the ghost trap, yep.
And she has a handgun.
Yeah, so hers is the trap and the proton pack, but hers is the least powerful of them, but she's also the one that carries the trap now.
Yeah.
And it's a fucking sick trap.
Yeah.
And then there was Raimondo, I believe.
Eduardo,
who was like also kind of like a Peter analog.
He was like if Peter and Winston combined, whereas like the I'm just like kind of like I'm I'm constantly joking around. Mm-hmm. So he had a little bit of Venkman there.
Yeah.
But at the same point, he's just like, I'm just a regular dude.
Yes.
I don't know what you guys are all talking about.
He didn't even believe in ghosts till any of this happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Every time something would happen, he'd be just like, he'd be like, man, what is going on?
Yeah.
Even?
Oh my God. Yeah. And so they have the new packs with like these plasma cartridges and stuff. Yeah. And they went into this whole like, you know, it was really good. They have
very good.
And how many seasons was it? 2 seasons?
Yeah, I think it might have just been one.
It might have been one
because it was just 40 episodes.
Oh, maybe it was one season.
Would be one long season or two shorter seasons.
But it was an excellent show.
You keep speaking,
show.
I will look it up.
Okay, it was an excellent show. The cast constantly had conflicts with each other that they kind of like were, you know, very 90s, like worked through their problems by the end of the episode, and then everyone gets along. And but an Egon in this show was
like one long season. Yeah, 40 episode season. Okay. In 97 is when it actually came out. So you're right.
Yep. Egon is kind of like a grizzled old man. Like he's done with shit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at that time, it's like he would be in his like 40s.
40s or 50s.
Yeah.
I think he was 35 to 45 in the movies. And then, you know, he's now, this is supposed to be like 10 years later because it's 97 and the movies are 87.
Yeah.
The first movie.
Yeah, the first movie was 87 because the second movie was 89.
So 10 years later, he's 45 to 55.
Yeah.
And like has already saved the world twice.
And gotten shit for it.
gotten shit on. I mean, he's working as a college professor.
Yeah.
Which is not like a very lucrative or, you know, he's just trying to pay the bills basically. Mm-hmm. And so then you have this like he rebuilds them all new packs with the help of Kylie and they redo the Ecto-1 and they kind of start doing it again. But I don't think they never actually go into business. It's not like Ghostbusters
are more underground.
Profit. Yeah, they are like vigilante Ghostbusters, like trying to stop stuff from happening.
Which is funny. Like when I heard that they were making a new movie, I was like, I really hope they go like extreme Ghostbusters. Yeah. Like I hope it's like a young group of Ghostbusters trained by you know, the OGs. And it's kind of like they did that.
It is kind of to some extent. I mean, you know, Egon definitely pointed Phoebe in a lot of the directions. Mm-hmm. I mean, the chess games and walking her down to the proton packs and like the mentor figure was the teacher, Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
Who kind of like, well, this is what they did and like pulled up YouTube videos and shit of like the Ghostbusters and like kind of gave her and podcast an idea of like what is.
Of how important it, of how important what they were finding was. Yeah.
And I love that they went back to the OG enemy.
Oh, Gozer?
Yeah, for sure.
Which the actress that played Gozer. Oh, like,
Olivia Wilde.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
I was surprised at how similar like bone structure and stuff was.
Yep.
That she was to the original Gozer. Mm-hmm. I was like, yo, they did a good job of replicating that. They, I'm like, I love that they kept the 80s ridiculous haircut.
Yeah, for sure. I love that. Shandor is like immediately fucking murdered.
Yeah.
Like he did all this. Yeah. He was such a simp and like not a good kind. He was like a burn the planet simp.
Yeah.
And then like there he goes.
J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah. He's wasted in this movie. That's the one thing. Like he's such an amazing actor.
I think that's kind of why they did it.
Yeah.
I think they were kind of like, oh, he's going to have such that's a probably, big role. Like,
and then they focus on him in the casket a couple times.
And they completely just subvert expectation. Yeah, just exactly. Like, fuck that guy.
Yeah, he's
be
totally
like, this is a Sumerian god.
Yeah.
You think they need J. Jonah Jameson?
Yeah.
Really? Exactly. It's like he just kind of helped open the door. Yep.
And I think the world building that went involved, like, oh, this is a Selenium mine that they stripped out. And that's how they built the fucking tower in New York.
He's still alive.
Yeah.
I don't know how he was still alive.
Well, he was in the dark arts and stuff.
So
they wasted they wasted him for this. I don't think they wasted him. I think you're right, though. It was a subversion of expectation.
Yeah.
To like, hey, he could have a really big role. And they show him in the coffin early on.
Like, how is this guy alive?
Mm-hmm. And yeah,
how did he know all of this stuff? Yeah. Like, you know, it's almost like there's a part of you that's like, I want to see how he knows this stuff. But then you're like, when he gets ripped in half, it's like, that was funny.
Yeah, it was. Like, it was perfect. It was like, okay, that makes sense.
It'd be bad like, people Gozer die. Wouldn't have been like, hey, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been like, get out of my way. Well, I have things to do.
Like you said, Gozer's an ancient Sumerian god. Yeah. Blood sacrifices were like kind of par for the course.
Mm.
This, you're not special. You're just a human to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just what helped open the door. Mm-hmm. It's like what makes you it's yeah. you're a priest. It, like no other priest would have gotten up in my face.
Yeah, right. like know your place, slag, basically yeah, was
exactly.
The, so yeah, it was really good.
I loved the mini marshmallow man.
Oh yeah.
That was adorable.
So there was lots of really cool little nods like that. Like yeah. you're saying, like you don't need to have seen the first one mm-hmm. to like the little mini marshmallow men.
Yeah.
You didn't need to see the first one to appreciate the terrifying hellhounds.
Yeah.
You know?
It's completely true. It's like, if you saw the other ones, mm-hmm. everything that was in here was just, it made your heart well up.
Yeah.
But if you didn't see it, then you have the same feeling that all of us that saw the first one
yeah.
had, where you're kind of like, oh my God, that fucking thing is crazy.
Yeah.
Or, oh my God, who's Gozer and what mm-hmm. is it going to be like?
Yeah.
Like, you always, you know, everybody has seen mm-hmm. imagery of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Yeah.
So you just got it in a more bite-sized, adorable mm-hmm. version.
Yeah.
That still was fucking shit up.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it was interesting that they didn't have them pick the form of their destroyer again.
You know, so this one wasn't... so this one, when Gozer came the last time, Gozer was coming because of a confluence of events.
It was like that was going to mm-hmm. happen no matter yeah. what.
This was like Shandor like made the mine and mm-hmm. built the... or found the temple.
Yeah.
And like kind of prepared this. This was yeah. this was Gozer becoming real here because of her gatekeeper and keymaster, not because of their...
With full cognizance of things got fucked up the last
yeah,
time.
Exactly.
She didn't get to do, or they didn't get to do, because they yeah. specifically stated
they.
Not yeah. not female, not male.
Yeah.
Which I had to explain to my daughter, and she was like, but it's a girl playing. And I'm like, no, you got to understand. I'm like, it's not... It's one, it's a god.
Yeah.
Like, and
gods
two,
don't care.
I'm like, and two, you don't have to be.
Yeah.
And she was like, okay. It's, she's like, I don't get it fully, but
yeah,
all right,
yeah,
it's
whatever,
fine.
Yeah.
It's not like it, which is, it goes to show parents, you can have a conversation yeah. about transgender people and things. And you
it's
know,
not and, a massive yeah, battle-y.
And different genders, and it's not going to fuck up your whole day.
Yeah.
It. We didn't even need to pause the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how quick it was.
That's how quick.
But yeah, so, you know, they knew that mm-hmm. they didn't get to
yeah,
do
clearly.
What they set out to do the mm-hmm. first time.
And they also know that Egon has been, even mm. with him being dead,
yeah.
holding them up from being...
Which, that whole auto turret
fucking
crossing
so cool.
the streams thing was
yeah.
so dope.
Yeah.
I will say, my favorite callback
mm-hmm.
is, are you are
God,
you
your
gods? God. And Rey finally getting it.
He's like,
yes we are. Which,
that's
if
so
you
good.
Saw the original,
it makes yeah, really
if
good.
If somebody asks you if you're a god, Rey, you say yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it was excellent.
That was great. That was honestly, that line in mm-hmm. the first one, one of my favorites. My favorite line, period, in any of them, though, is still to this day from the second one.
Mm-hmm.
Viggy, 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 you've been a bad monkey.
Yes.
That whole rant
that
Venkman has.
Yes.
Yeah, I hope like if I'm hoping they do another one because mm-hmm. I want to see this series continue because I feel like this new generation deserves that.
I'd love another movie. Sans old Ghostbusters entirely. Just
yeah,
Phoebe and her brother and podcast and
yeah.
like, you know, just going at it.
They know what they're doing now.
Uh-huh.
You don't even need to show Egon. You can still have the ghost of
yeah,
Egon there
exactly.
helping out.
I don't
but
even
it
think
never
you
needs
really
to be explained. No, because he went.
Yeah,
he did.
I don't think you need that. I think
yeah.
like she's smart enough to just kind of start figuring it out on their own.
Yeah.
And if she really needs like a mentor figure, you could always bring like Rey back in.
Yeah. You now, like, they don't have to worry about mm-hmm. the same things because you can have Winston,
yeah.
you know, angel investing
yeah, exactly.
into their thing. But
yeah.
I can really see this being something for the, because Ghostbusters was a big thing
yep.
for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like me and my friend Mark. My friend mm-hmm. Mark is one of the biggest Ghostbusters mm-hmm. fans that I know. And like, this was a huge part of our life.
Yeah.
We would talk about it constantly.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, when we were really, really young kids, we mm-hmm. would play Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. I had the proton
yeah.
pack toy. I had the fucking, the ghost finder.
Yeah.
I had all of that stuff. That was a big part of it. And I mm-hmm. think that this generation deserves to have
yeah,
that
for
also.
Sure. I agree.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's a good place to call
I
it.
I think that is. It's a very heartfelt place
yeah,
to
Yeah. Like,
to
it's,
end
I think,
it.
Like, I love Ghostbusters. I've loved it my whole life.
Yeah.
I really loved 3. I loved a bunch of different franchise parts. I think it'd be great if they continued it with this new generation, just kind of built even more lore and canon and world building off of this.
Love to see Viggo come back.
Oh my God. No Viggo.
No Viggo.
No Viggo.
With great power.
He is. You like the mother, me like the father.
There are a lot of perks to being the mother of a living god.
Oh, that was so good.
Great character. I would love to see him come back. It'd be so good.
Okay. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Please be sure to check out our website, rumrunnerspodcastnetwork.com, where you can check out the rest of our podcasts, any of our other networks podcasts like Dark Rum, Rum Runners, Senpai Kohai. You got to watch this podcast. You have to watch this podcast. Norwal's Nightmares.
Yeah. Infinite Universe Podcast.
Infinite Universe Podcast. Infinite Universe was right on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah.
Lehigh Valley Food.
Yep. Fit Talk with Nick.
Fit Talk with Nick. Chungus Cast.
Chungus Cast. And many more. We have more people interested in joining. If you are interested in joining, we have a contact form right down on the bottom. We can do that. On the website, we also have the Indie Podcast Magazine. It's a fully digital magazine. You can get it there. It's also distributed on a whole bunch of big podcast Facebook groups.
Yep.
If you'd like to be in that magazine, we are providing very affordable advertising. If you want to get your show out to all the people that can possibly see it, definitely also on that contact form, hit us up and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at TalkShonen.
Yep.
That's pretty much it.
I think that's it. Hey, thanks for listening.
Embrace your fandom.
Let your nerd flag fly.
Peace.